It is awesome to be with you on this Monday. I am Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. And don't wedge that line into something stupid in an email or a tweet. I mean, I sincerely hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your Monday's off to a good start. Got a good show for you. In case you missed hour number one, I started the program off by giving you an update on Bob Kraft. Then we had an in-studio NFL draft prospect, a former wide receiver from West Virginia, David Sills. Coming up next segment, we talk more about the upcoming draft. Can't get enough of that, honestly. I'm like a diehard. I'm a degenerate for it. Cannot get enough intel leading into the combine and the draft, so we're all over it. We're trying to get as many draft prospects as we can. Again, a lot of them in studio because a lot of them do get their work in here in Southern California. Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, joins me in the next segment. LA Chargers kicker, Michael Badgley in studio. So two more in studio. Today, we had two in studio in one day last week. We're working it. All of that is still ahead. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. This tweet actually sets up the next topic. Ed Zimzy tweets, I'm sure the Dodgers' interest in Harper is legit and not just a ploy by Scott Boras to feed stories to the media to drive up the price. Signed every big free agent Boras ever had. That might be it. That might not be it. Even if that is it, who cares? He's doing his job. He is an agent. He needs to create a perception that there's a lot of interest in his client, even if there's not. You need multiple buyers. This is no different than any other business, any other negotiation. You need multiple buyers. All right, so let's look at the big picture. You've got spring training and the games are underway. But let's be honest, the real drama is still off the field, not on it, because Bryce Harper is still unsigned. And yesterday came reports that Philadelphia was close to finalizing a 10-year deal with Harper. Close to finalizing a 10-year contract, which would make yesterday roughly the 50th consecutive day that the Phillies were on the verge of signing Bryce Harper. Seriously, nobody has ever been closer to being this close to doing something than the Phillies have been to signing Bryce Harper. From the sounds of it, they're just standing on this guy's doorstep with a contract and a pen waiting for him to come outside and check his mail or pick up a newspaper. Quick, Bryce, sign this. The Phillies have been hours away from finalizing a deal for like a month. Every single day, is this not the report? They're close. They're going to finalize it. However, according to Bob Nightingale, who is plugged in, team owner John Middleton was in Las Vegas, and he was not going to leave until he had a Harper. Until he left without Harper. But the Phillies still feel like they're going to get this thing done. And sooner than later. However, come to find out, the Phillies may not be negotiating against only themselves, because according to Jeff Passan, the LA Dodgers rolled into Las Vegas and they are checking out Bryce Harper. Quote, the Los Angeles Dodgers re-engaged with Bryce Harper's camp 2 weeks ago, seeking a shorter-term deal. Sources tell Ramona Shelburne and me. On the heels of Jesse Sanchez's report, the parties met Sunday in Las Vegas. Question becomes whether either side will move toward the other. So you want some more juice to get pumped in this morning. Here's that report from Sanchez. Quote, sources, the Dodgers are back in the mix for Bryce Harper. Club officials, including manager Dave Roberts, were seen in Las Vegas on Sunday. So let me pick out a few important details from that tweet. The phrase, back in the mix. The phrase, including manager Dave Roberts. I mean, damn. There's no way Dave Roberts is going to Las Vegas if this isn't serious, right? There's no way Dave Roberts is leaving camp and heading to Las Vegas unless there's a legit chance that the Dodgers can come home with Bryce Harper, right? Right? So you know what that means, don't you? Time to start printing up the Harper jerseys. LA may have lost out on Anthony Davis for the time being, but we're going to get Bryce. And yeah, I understand the outfield is not exactly a position of need at that moment. However, when you have a guy like that, when you have one of the all-time great free agents, and notice I'm not saying one of the all-time great players. I'm saying one of the all-time great free agents. Why do I say that? He moves the needle. He puts people in the seats. He's arguably baseball's biggest star entering his prime. He is a big-time free agent, an all-time free agent. So even if you don't need him and there's not an outfield spot for him, that doesn't mean you don't do that, especially if the DH is going to come to the NL at some point. So if you can add a player, in fact, a star like Harper, that'd be pretty damn sweet, right? That's something you have to look at, right? It might even ease some of those nagging concerns that you have about Clayton Kershaw. Well, and by the way, how you feeling about those reports, Dodger fans? Then again, no time to think about Kershaw putting the ball down for a few days when you've got Bryce Harper bobbleheads to start hyping and a 2019 World Series parade to start planning. Now, let's just read one more tweet from Passan and then decide whether the parade should just go back and forth on Figueroa or if they should start on Fig and then take a right and head all the way to the ocean. Here is the other part of the tweet from Passan. Quote, from the start, Bryce Harper has sought a decade-long plus deal. There is no indication, sources said, that has changed. The Dodgers, meanwhile, have long been opposed to very long-term deals. Still, the Dodgers' emergence has thrown a fascinating wrench into these negotiations. All right, so the Dodgers' emergence has thrown a fascinating wrench into those negotiations. And that particular tweet throws a fascinating wet blanket over Dodger fans. Because what I'm saying is, unless something has changed really dramatically, nothing has changed. For this to be real, for Harper to be a Dodger, either he has to decide that he does not want a long-term deal, or the Dodgers have to decide they're willing to do a long-term deal. And that would be a huge change for both of them to make. And does anybody really think either of those things is going to happen? Do you really think that Bryce Harper and Scott Boras work this hard to get into position for this deal, the highest in baseball history, only for Harper to decide at the last second, damn, I like L.A. I like the West Coast. Yeah, that's not important to me all of a sudden. I don't need the security of a long-term deal. I don't need to be the highest paid guy ever. No, man, I love L.A. Yeah, for sure I'll do that. Yeah, I understand the lure of the big market. I understand that he may even have some reservations about Philadelphia. But how much is that lure worth? How much are those reservations worth? Do you really think Scott Boras would encourage a move like that, much less Harper doing something like that? Is he really going to walk away from an alleged 10-year deal on the table in Philly to take less and fewer years in L.A.? And are the Dodgers really going to change their whole philosophy about long-term deals to sign a guy at a position where they really don't have a need? Is it real, or is it all just a ploy from Boras and Harper to jam Philly to get more jack out of them? To get Philly from being close to signing Bryce to actually finally signing Bryce? And don't get me wrong, Bryce would be good for L.A., L.A. would be good for Bryce, but is either one going to budge enough to make that happen? If I'm the Dodgers, I get on that plane and I do everything I can to talk Bryce into it. And my man Dave Roberts is as good as they come. But does anybody anywhere think that Harper and Boras are going to leave a nickel on the table, much less multiple years and multiple millions? Yet neither do I. Either way, just get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done so we can move on to the next thing. And then waste all of our time trying to figure out where Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel are going to live and work. Can we move on to the next thing? It is a fascinating wrench. But you know what would be a really fascinating wrench? Is if the guy left a nickel on the table. And a year, much less three or four or five. What about that Clayton Kershaw thing? Yeah, I know that they said he does not need an MRI. I know that they said he is still their opening day starter. It's a little weird that he's taking time off right now, that he's put the ball down for a few days. I'm not there. I don't know. But given the mileage he has, given how old he has, given the loss of velo, and given the fact that he's already resting, hey, hopefully it's just one of those spring training things. You know, Clayton, he's not going to tell you anything. He's just going to cowboy up, work through it. But they're working awfully hard to say to you, he does not need an MRI. He is star opening day starter. They need this guy now. They need him to kind of evolve and become that next stage or next level kind of pitcher that he is, because he's not going to be the guy he used to be. We know this. And I think that Dave Roberts would argue, even if he were to cop to that, Dave Roberts would say, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not, but guys do evolve. Guys do change. He's still an elite pitcher. Maybe they got to kind of accept what he is. Better yet, maybe he needs to kind of accept what he is. I know that Clayton came into spring training and in the offseason was talking about doing work to get back that velocity lost. So I'd be kind of concerned about the fact that he hasn't picked up the ball for a few days. But they say they're not. Bryce Harper, is he going to be in Philadelphia or not? Do you like that fit in Philadelphia or not? And a lot of times it's not about fit. You know what it's about? Cash. Cash. I don't care about the fit. Cash. If that guy's looking at $301 million, if that guy's looking at $325 million, does fit really matter? Who's going to leave that money on the table? Because, yeah, I'm a little concerned about that fit. Trust me, for $325, the fit's right. Ask any athlete in the history of the world. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I'm efforting good telephone calls. We are a man short today, so if you're wondering about that, watch your head, dude. Bucky Brooks coming up momentarily. Hey, Rome, passing is the source. He also called the smack off the smack down. And he used John in Little Rock's phone at a campsite to make his smack off call last year. Still not buying it, Rome. Signed, Damasio in Albuquerque. All right, so he misspoke. Trust me, Passon knew exactly what he was talking about. You know how I know? Because the first time he participated, he came in third. It's almost unheard of.
And I'm going to bring it to the SmackDown.
I have a much greater concern about Passon than how he'll do in the so-called SmackDown or what his phone quality will be like. Unfortunately, he now works for a competing entity that is not good about sharing their guests. So my concern about Jeff Passon, who I consider a very good friend of the program, very good friend of the program. Let me tell you something else I consider about Jeff Passon. My man, intellectually, is top shelf. Like, he is one of the best to ever do it. He is so reputable, regardless of whether or not he called the smack off the SmackDown.
SmackDown.
He misspoke. He knew what it was. And in terms of having a bad cell signal, that'll happen. I mean, you want to make sure you're right for the SmackDown, but that'll happen. He also apologized profusely. It was not one of his better days. This guy's great. The guy's golden to me. My greater concern is ESPN will not let him do it. I had a funny conversation with Arash Markazi the other day. I said, Arash, damn, man, it's crazy. It's like we traded you for Passon. I mean, I'd like to have both you guys. But I saw Arash at the Jason Barrett Sports Media Conference. In fact, I saw a lot of people at that sports media conference. I wonder if this video of that sit-down that Barrett and I had, a Q&A, it actually went really well. I don't mean actually. I mean, it went really well. And I got caught up with a bunch of people in the industry that I have not seen in a while and got some quality time with my man Arash, who is definitely going to come back on the program. Arash had gone to ESPN and then stopped coming on the program. And now Passon's there, so I don't know. We need like a media sensation to step up and take Passon's place if he can't talk them into letting him participate in the 25th SmackDown. But Passon, again, dude, Passon is really good. Really good. I need somebody in the media who's got a passion for the show that can take his place. And again, I'm not ruling out that he won't be here. I'm just going to put that out there right now. And you know how media types are. They're careful about how far they put themselves out. I'm extending an invite, and I'm going to couch it by saying, in the event that Jeff Passan can't do it, in the event that Passan cannot do it, and this is not an easy guy to follow, he did come in third. What notable media member that knows this show, that is fully aware of what the SmackDown represents, would like to take his place? So I got a lot of friends in the media. A lot of people that have come through here. A lot of people I've helped. Damn. Bucky, I'm going to be a minute or two late. Sorry about that. I want to pick up that topic. I'm looking for, in the event, and I'm not pushing Passan out, Jeff Passan has got an exemption lifetime for the SmackDown. I'm just saying, the event that the company he works for will not let him do it. Is there anybody that wants to take his place? Step it up. When we come back, Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, joins me. Fellas, you know that Untuckit shirt that you've been eyeing for a while? Here's your chance, as Untuckit is having their annual stock-up event happening at Untuckit.com and in all 50 Untuckit stores. Now through February 27th, you can save 25% when you buy two or more items. Buy two or more button-downs, get 25% off. Buy two or more polos, get 25% off. Buy two or more tees and Henleys, get 25% off. Every Untuckit shirt has that just right length, and it comes in tons of fit combinations. So whether you're a tall guy or a short guy or a slim guy or a bigger guy or a younger guy or an older guy, you're going to look and feel great in an Untuckit shirt. Visit any of Untuckit's 50 stores across the country or use the promo code STOCKUP at Untuckit.com. STOCKUP is your promo code. You will always get fast, free shipping and returns on every order in the U.S. If you have not experienced the all shapes and sizes fit of Untuckit, use the promo code STOCKUP at Untuckit.com or any Untuckit retail store. Now through Wednesday, February 27th, and you can experience the great look and feel of Untuckit for 25% off. Untuckit.com, promo code STOCKUP.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you once again with the upcoming NFL Draft. I'm trying to get as many draft prospects on the program as I can. David Sills was in studio earlier today. I'm trying to get you as many perspectives as I possibly can. Here is another one, one I respect greatly. He's an NFL Network analyst. He had a 12-year career in the National Football League as a player and a scout. The founder of Big Play Football, host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah. The head coach at Granada Hills Charter High School. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. NFL Network is going to provide live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine March 1st through the 4th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Bucky Brooks is my guest. Bucky, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you. Let me jump right into it. Let me start a quarterback with you. You recently tweeted that Dwayne Haskins is the number one quarterback in this year's class. What have you seen from him that makes you say that?
Oh, he's a fantastic player, Jim. When you watch him play, he plays the game the way that the top quarterbacks have played in the league for the last 20 to 30 years. He is an outstanding pocket passer. He has a big arm. He can make every throw that you want to see, but he also can throw with finesse. He can throw with touch, timing, and anticipation. He has a high football IQ, and he is a guy that, despite only playing 1 year as a starter, this guy put up remarkable numbers, 50 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, plays the game the right way. I think for most teams who want to have a pocket passer, someone that can kind of play it in a very traditional fashion, Dwayne Haskins is the guy that checks off all the boxes. And it'd be interesting to see, after he spends it at the combine, what the conversation is coming out of Indy prior to opposed to what it was going into Indianapolis.
Bucky Brooks joining us. You know, one more thought about that. When you watch him, what do you make of the way he handles things when the protection breaks down? Do you like that from him?
No, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about, like, look, he's not a mobile guy. He doesn't have the athleticism. But I think the maker of the elite quarterbacks understand what's coming, and they figure out a way to get rid of the ball. And I'm not saying that this kid is going to come in and automatically be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. But when you see how Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were able to evolve their games later in their careers, it's because they understood how the defense was attacking, and they were able to answer it by getting the ball out quickly into the hands of the playmakers. I think Dwayne Haskins in time is going to be that kind of player. He is going to be a guy that dissects the defense during the pre-snap phase and absolutely picks apart defenses once the ball is snapped because he understands exactly where to go to the ball, go with the ball, and he does it in spectacular fashion.
Bucky Brooks, NFL media analyst, also played and scouted in the NFL for a number of years. Bucky, then, of course, there is Kyler Murray. What is the biggest question about him that you're looking to have answered at the combine?
I mean, the biggest question everyone's going to have is what is he measuring at? Like, how tall is he? How much does he weigh? We saw Peter King reported that he was 206 pounds the most recent time that he had been weighed. Whether he comes in at 5'10 or a shade under 5'10, he is what he is. But what I can tell you is when I pop in the tape, you won't find many football players that are better than him. What he does with the ball in his hands is dynamic. He's explosive. He can win inside or outside the pocket. He is a guy that, look, when you look at his numbers compared to Baker Mayfield's numbers at Oklahoma in the same system with the same coach, the numbers are comparable, but Kyler Murray gives you a little more explosiveness as a runner. Based on how Baker Mayfield played his first year in the league, I think there's something to say that, look, Kyler Murray can come in the league, and in the right system with the right coach, he can absolutely light it up. But you have to be willing to kind of build your offense around what he's able to do.
We're talking to Bucky Brooks. Bucky, you know how front offices work. So do you think teams will look at Murray and see the potential and the types of things you're talking about right here? Or are they going to look and see the concerns and not want to take that risk?
I think ultimately it depends on how comfortable you are in your situation. A long-tenured general manager who has a lot of pelts on the wall, he could take a Kyler Murray and know that if Kyler Murray doesn't work out, it won't necessarily affect or impact his reputation as an evaluator. The thing that general managers like to do is they want to make sure that they don't mess it up, that they just kind of hit it down the fairway, that they don't take necessarily risks. And the best way to do it is to go after guys who check off all the boxes when it comes to the prototypes. He's not a prototypical quarterback, but what he is an excellent quarterback. And if you match him up, he and Dwayne Haskins versus some of the other guys in the class, if you just look at the tape, Kyler Murray outplays all of them. And I think the conversation is, who would you prefer first, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins? Because it's not a debate with the other guys in my mind.
How about you, Bucky? When you look at those two guys, I understand they're very different players, but who would you rather have first if that were your pick?
You know, it's tough because depending upon the offense, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals and say I was looking for a quarterback, Kyler Murray would be the guy because Cliff Kingsbury has had experience with those kind of quarterbacks, and he said he would take him number one. But if you ask me for the overwhelming majority of teams, I would take Dwayne Haskins. I think Dwayne Haskins is the classic prototypical quarterback that most teams covet. I don't understand why the conversation hasn't been about him being a terrific prospect and maybe one of the best prospects that we've seen in the position. But I will tell you, I think the kid is special, and I think he's going to do special things in the league.
So, Buck, if you were the Cardinals and you had Josh Rosen, would you feel like we already have our franchise quarterback, or is Murray so special that he's too special to pass up, even if you've got Rosen?
I think it would be a situation where Murray's too special in the scheme that they're going to use under Cliff Kingsbury to pass up. Look, I think this kid is a remarkable player. Obviously, he won the Heisman Trophy, and you saw the numbers that he was able to put up. But there are people that will tell you going all the way back to high school that he may have been the best high school football player in the state of Texas based on what he was able to do as a three-time state champion at Allen High School. This kid is good. And when he dedicates himself to being a football player full-time, which is what he will do going forward, I think the ceiling is tremendous. I think he has an opportunity to really be a star in the league.
Bucky Brooks joining us. Now, taking a step back and looking at the combine overall, you and Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky, had a really interesting conversation on your podcast about technology and the combine. You know, as you take that step back, what kind of role can you see technology playing in the combine in the coming years?
It's going to continue to play a huge role in the way that guys are scouting these prospects. And I know we're kind of old school in the way that we compile the numbers. We do 40 times and short shuttles and verticals and all those things. And traditionally, we've done those things on stopwatch as well. With the GPS technology that is now available, you can track and monitor how explosive guys are. You can do things when you're compiling data for the prototypes that are succeeding in the league when it comes to measuring that data. I just think as we continue to get comfortable with the analytics and the metrics and the data that is now available, they're really good football minds are going to be able to find ways to bridge that information with the intel of scouting and looking at tape and find a way to really narrow the focus when it comes to the really good players that are in each draft.
We are talking to Bucky Brooks. I've got a couple of quick things for you, Bucky, before I let you go that I really am curious about. Your colleague Maurice Jones-Drew asked you if the Steelers will have a winning season next year without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I mean, talent is a key, obviously, to success in the NFL, but so is having chemistry and making the pieces fit together. How do you see that offense next year without the two of them?
A lot of it depends on Ben Roethlisberger and his ability to step back and allow the Steelers to play the best way that they need to play to win games. Meaning, without AB and without Le'Veon Bell, this is a team that may not be as explosive or as dynamic as it has been the last 4 or 5 years. Will Ben Roethlisberger be willing to check his ego at the door and play like maybe the Patriots had to play when they decided at the end of the year that the best way for them to win was to run the ball, play a little more ball control, and kind of shrink the game by running and salting the game away? If Roethlisberger is willing to do that, then they certainly can win games. But I think this is really kind of a critical situation, not for the players, but for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has an opportunity to regain control of his locker room. This could be the reset that the Seattle Seahawks were able to do last year under Pete Carroll. Will Mike Tomlin orchestrate that kind of reset where he blows out AB? He knows that Le'Veon Bell is not going to be there. He takes the reins back from Ben Roethlisberger, and he says, this is how the Steelers are going to play. This is my team, and I'm going to put my thumbprint on this team. We'll see if he's willing to do that.
Hey, Bucky, makes sense, right? But then you had the GM saying last week that Ben Roethlisberger was more than right to call out his teammates, that if they were smart, the, quote, 52 kids that Ben has to play with should be looking at Ben because he's the one with the rings. So do you think Tomlin will try to rip that control back to Ben? Or what's going on when the GM is saying Ben's got it right, actually?
You know, Ben has ultimately gotten the pass. And I know people come at me because they say I always give Ben a hard time. But I think when you look at the quarterbacks that are the ultimate leaders and winners in this league, they're the ones that kind of understand when they need to be selfless, when they need to make sure that they put more on them when it comes to taking the blame. They also know how to elevate their players, not only through playing, but through the way that they lead. I think the thing with Ben Roethlisberger, everyone wants to see on your chest, but are you willing to do the things that really make you a captain? Are you willing to privately instruct those guys and elevate them while publicly continue to praise them? You don't criticize people in an open forum. Leadership is not how you do it in the presser. Leadership is what you really do to help your teammates become better players. I don't know if he has that in him, but if he wants to accomplish these things that he says that he wants in terms of being a champion, he is going to have to think about changing his leadership style, because the way that he's doing it now certainly doesn't endear him to his peers.
Bucky, you sound like a coach, and the reason for that is you are a coach. I mentioned it off the very top. You are the new head football coach at Granada Hills Charter High School. I think that's absolutely awesome. Given how busy you are with your media career and everything else you have going on, why was that something that was so important to you, and how excited are you to do this job?
Hey, I'm really excited about it. I've been coaching in the L.A. area for 10 years. That's been 10 years at Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks. I think it's best known for Justin Fargus played there. And so I had an opportunity to play, to coach there. I was offensive coordinator last year, but I've always had a desire to be a high school coach. My dad is a high school coach. My high school coach in North Carolina is probably one of the best to ever do it in North Carolina. So I always wanted to see if their recipes and their formulas will work at the high school level. Plus, being around so many great coaches in the National Football League, from Tom Coughlin to Marv Levy, Mike Holmgren, John Gruden, Marty Schottenheimer, I want to see if some of those things that I learned from those guys would work on the high school level while also having an opportunity to really shape and influence and develop young people. It's a terrific opportunity to go back to John Elway's high school and see if we can orchestrate a little change and see if we can do some things that would be great in the city.
Hey, Bucky, I absolutely love this thing, and I know the schools you're talking about. I love that you're taking this on, but I'm blown away that you're doing it in the 818. I'm from the 818. I wonder when you're going to work your way back to my alma mater, Calabasas High School.
Well, one of my best friends is coaching at Calabasas, Chris Claiborne. He's the head coach there. He's done a terrific job of kind of elevating that program. And so I may not be able to get to your old program, but my is in good hands with my guy, Chris Claiborne. I'm hoping that we can kind of create our own legacy at Granada Hills and we can make John Elway and some of the other guys that have been Highlanders proud.
Hey, Bucky, I know you got your own thing going, but just really quickly about Claiborne, you're right. I mean, I know that he's the guy there right now. Understand that when I went there, we were not real proud of the football program. It's amazing what he has done. How did a guy like that see possibility at a school where there really had never been any kind of success before? Why would he go there and do that?
Well, you know, like, I think the thing, and really, in all fairness, I'm going to give credit to Rick and Casey Clawson because they really took it
from
one level and elevated it. Chris has gone in, and he's, look, we all, as former players, like, we all love the game. And coaching is the ultimate give back. And when Chris and I have talked, we've talked about trying to show young people how to do it the right way, trying to build a program the right way. We all are in it to kind of scratch the competitive itch. But we also are trying to live vicariously through our players. The closest thing to playing is coaching. And so when you see young people accomplish certain things on the field and away from the field, it makes you feel proud. I think Chris and I share the same vision. And I think for both of our respective programs, we would like to see those programs elevated and respected and kind of talked about when our time comes and goes.
I love it, and I love seeing you guys in the 818 doing your thing. The NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine March 1st through the 4th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Bucky Brooks in the middle of this whole thing, and remember to follow him at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. He is the coach of Granada Hills Charter High School. Bucky, thanks for hanging in there, spending so much time with us, and great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Love talking to you, Bucky. Well done. You and DJ both. How about that? Bucky Brooks coaching at John Elway's high school. It's a lot of good coaching talent in the 818. Hashtag 818. 818 for life.
818 for life.
Alvin's trying to come in and talk junk. Like, dude, is Charles Davis going to come in and coach Kennedy? I don't know, Alvin. He probably would if he could. He probably would. Don't mess with the football factories that are now 818. Never used to be like that. All right, we ran really heavy, but you know what? I have the authority and the autonomy to run heavy on good segments, and that was a really good segment. Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tomorrow night on CBS Sports Network, it is a college hoops doubleheader. St. Louis takes on VCU, 7:30 Eastern and 4:30 Pacific, followed by Mountain West Mayhem. San Diego State, Utah State, tip-off, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Fine line, once again. I'm trying to talk about Robert Kraft. I'm trying to talk about the decision that he allegedly made. You know, got in his luxury rig, got a chauffeur, pointed that thing 30 miles out or 30 minutes out, ended up in some strip mall at a scummy day spa, allegedly facing a couple of counts, trying to see if you clones can handle this topic. So far, you haven't. I'm doing my best. Like this guy. Okay, actually, this is off topic. It's about Clayton Kershaw. Another legitimate topic. All right, the guy's not throwing right now. The Dodgers say it's fine. He's good. There's no MRI necessary. He's still our opening day starter. No reason to panic. It's normal. He's just taking a little time. This guy weighs in. Hey, Rome. War being able to relate to Clayton Kershaw's recent dead arm. Son, Rick Allen. Matt in Tucson. Hey, moron. Couple of things there. Kershaw does not necessarily have a dead arm. He's got inflammation of the shoulder. Maybe it's semantics. But that's not necessarily dead arm. You know what's not also necessarily dead arm? Having no arm. There's a difference between having a dead arm and having no arm. Rick Allen, who's a legend and an idol to many, has one arm and plays the drums for a major band. Dead arm, no arm. Dear Jim, leading up to the draft, I found some excellent arm talent in Jupiter. Son, Robert Kraft. All right, I'm going to say this one last time. human trafficking. Women held against their will in a spa, not allowed to leave. They live there. Sex slaves. In no way should the phrase arm talent ever be associated with that. One more. Brian C60. Come on, Kraft. Everyone knows that a chiropractor is the only person you pay in a strip mall. Signed, Hawk. All right, again, I put the question out there. If Jeff Passan can no longer be in the Smack Off, I need somebody else in the media to step up. Who's going to take that guy's place? And again, I don't know that that's the case. I just know ESPN. I know ESPN generally does not let their talent appear on this program, much less on the biggest day of the year for this program. I'm guessing it's going to be very tough for Jeff Passan to sell that to ESPN, where he now works. So I'm looking for somebody to take his place if that's the case. Or better yet, even if the guy can do it, any other media members want to come in here? Like, there's a lot of really smart media members. It doesn't mean that you can come in and go up against some of the savages that we have in the Smack Off. Passan more than held his own. Is there anybody out there who wants to do it? I'm looking for somebody in the media to take that on and say, yeah, man, I want in. I can do it. As an example, back in the day, Jim Harbaugh tried to do it. It went horribly. Really bad for him and really bad for me. Actually, not bad for me at all. I mean, I gave this guy the opportunity. And this is when Harbaugh and I actually were not only on speaking terms, we were actually good. But here's how, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, big time name, shows up on the biggest day of the year, the Smack Off. What is the Smack Off? The Smack Off is invite only for the biggest savages in the history of this program. They're coming in. They're coming in to snatch your soul. What did this guy do on a day of soul snatching? Harbaugh did this.
Romy, it's good to be on the Smack Off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
1998. I guess the one thing you don't want to do, and I did appreciate him doing that day, but the one thing you don't want to do is show up to the Smack Off and say, I don't have a lot of smack today. Because the whole point of the Smack Off is to run as much smack as you possibly can before you get run. It'd be like him coaching Michigan and showing up to a game against Ohio State and saying, you know, I really don't have a game plan today. I really haven't developed any kind of scheme, either offensively or defensively. I really don't have a way for us to win any of the three aspects of that game. I really don't have a plan.
I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today.
My plan today going up against Ohio State is to get my ass kicked. That's my plan. And I executed that plan. Anyway, so as I wait for media members to say, I want in, I'd like to do that. Here's some of the reaction from the clones on what they want. And Mr. Toxic tweets, Jim, put DA in on the strength of taking down Matt in L.A. with his grill.
You're the guy Rome goes to, Matt, when the better caller hung up. You're what we call wallpaper, radio wallpaper. It's ugly, out of date, but always there to cover up a crack in the drywall. Outro!
That outro bomb was great. DA would take that on. DA would take that on. He'd do great, too. Chris No Longer in St. Pete tweets, if we were recruiting a media member to the SmackDown, I'm firmly on Danny Shaughnessy. He would totally eviscerate Brad. I love Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy might be the oldest of the old school, and that might not play to his strengths, but you don't want to mess with him. Let me tell you something. In a tough town like Boston, Shaughnessy has run a lot of tough athletes out of that town. But this is a different sport. The Smack Off is a different sport. At Table Slam Fan tweets, get Boomer on the Smack Off to crank up the excitement for this year's event. Boomer Esiason. At Mock Moda tweets, Passan always used words that the clones never heard of or what their meaning was. With that said, Fabian is the obvious replacement. Fabian's not a member of the media. Unless he has a podcast I don't know about or a blog.
Okay.
Neep. Next hour, okay. Chargers kicker Michael Badgley joins me right here in studio. When we come back, this crazy beef between Ja Rule and Minnesota. All that still ahead.